the past 3 weeks, we have heard parables from the Gospel according to Matthew. Parables that Jesus tells during Holy Week, just after he enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, to the shouts of Hosanna and to people waving branches in welcome. Once in the city, Jesus goes to the temple, and there he challenges the religious leaders, judging them for rejecting his teaching and authority, just as they rejected John the Baptist before him. Though these leaders ask Jesus questions, it's not so that they can better understand him. They are interested only in entrapping him, hoping they find a reason to justify killing him. Jesus, however, knows what they are up to, and he finds ways to show how they are failing to see the new thing that God is doing in their midst. In today's gospel, these leaders try a different approach from the previous passages. They try flattering Jesus. They say to him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality." After heaping this praise on Jesus, they then follow up with a question: "Is it lawful to pay taxes?" Jesus asks for the coin that's used to pay taxes and inquires whose head is portrayed on the coin, whose title is found there. They answer, "It is the emperor's." Jesus tells them then to give to the emperor what is his, and then adds, "and give to God what is God's." The emperor is entitled to the payment of taxes using the coin bearing his likeness, but Jesus is pointing to a larger and more significant truth. By saying, "give to God the things that are God's," Jesus is really teaching that everything belongs to God. All that a person has is a gift of God. Their very life and breath is a gift given by God. Later in Holy Week at his trial, Jesus even tells the authorities that the power they exercise as political leaders is theirs only because God allows it. And when it is God's will and it is God's time, they will lose their power. Everything belongs to God. Jesus reminds us that everything that exists is because God created it. All of creation belongs to God. Humanity, you and me, are created by God and belong to God. Despite what the rulers of this earth might think, it is God alone who is all-powerful and is the author and the ruler of creation. All of creation, including all earthly powers and rulers, are subject to God's will. None will endure forever. Only God is eternal. Today's gospel reading has at times been used to justify a particular way of looking at the world, of dividing it into two discrete realms, the secular and the sacred. This understanding puts a divide between matters that are political and earthly and matters that are sacred and heavenly. It suggests one realm is humanity's and the other is God's. Jesus offers a different teaching. He does not support that divide. Instead, he affirms that all things are God's. Everything is part of God's realm. Nothing is outside God's power and God's judgment. The coins of nations and kingdoms may bear the image of rulers who think they are in charge, who think that they possess great power. They may require citizens to pay taxes using this currency. But ultimately, all things are God's alone. Everything is created by God, belongs to God, and is subject to God's sovereignty. The Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge offers a reflection on today's gospel highlighting this reality. Called identity, it says, and I quote, Jesus gave us a gift when he told us to give to God the things that are God's. He reminded us that we belong to God, and in God we live and move and have our being. It is there where we find our true identity as persons loved and made by God. Unquote. To follow Jesus means committing all of ourselves to God's reign. It requires that we give over our entire selves to God, trusting God will love us and provide for us and care for us. Following Jesus is about giving our hearts and minds and wills to God at all times. To accept this teaching of Jesus requires giving ourselves over wholly to his way of love, to living faithfully as his disciples. And this way of Jesus has profound implications for how we are to live. Walking with Jesus is a way of life. And today I want to highlight three implications of this way. The first is the call to live by gratitude. Because God creates everything that is and provides from the bounty of creation for every creature, giving every creature what it needs to live and thrive, in response, the call is to be thankful. Each day we are called to remember all that God lovingly gives to us, all that God provides for us. With gratitude to God, we are called to be faithful stewards of all entrusted to us, all that is given us by God. We are called to share from our abundance with those who do not have enough. The norm for followers of Jesus is giving away 10% of all that God has given us. In gratitude, we share our time, our talent, and our treasure as a thank offering to God who provides for us. Just as God is generous to us, so we are to share generously with others. We are to give of ourselves, of our abilities and talents, of the time that God has given us in this life, and of the financial and material resources entrusted to our care. We are to give wholly of ourselves in gratitude for all that God gives us. And if all people live generous lives, no one in this world would ever go hungry or be homeless. God's bounty would be shared by all people. The second implication of giving to God all that belongs to God is remembering that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Just as that coin given to Jesus has an image of the Roman emperor, so we are like that coin. We are not minted, of course, of precious metal, but of something far more precious, of flesh and blood created by God. We are not made in the likeness of an earthly political figure, but rather in the likeness of the eternal God of creation, who creates us in love. This understanding is from the ancient church. The early Christian theologian Tertullian, writing from Carthage in Roman Africa, said, "Render to Caesar Caesar's image, which is on the coin, and to God, God's image, which is on humanity." This reality has profound implications for how we live. If God's image is found on humanity, then we must respect the dignity of every human being. Each person is created in God's image, bears the likeness of God within them, and therefore is worthy of being respected as God's child. We live in an age of unbridled hatred and disrespect of those who disagree with us or are different from us. And Jesus reminds us that such behavior is not an option for his followers. Each person we encounter is to be treated with love and respect, befitting their identity as a beloved child of God. We must love those who disagree with us, those who are our enemies, those who wish us harm. We must remember that each person bears the likeness of God in their being. And just imagine how different our nation and our world would be if all who profess to follow Jesus lived this way. The third implication of giving to God all that belongs to God is the call to maintain hope in the face of overwhelming challenges. We live, it's very clear, in a time of great anxiety and stress. The pandemic rages throughout the world, newly surging in Europe and in many states in our own country. Here in Rhode Island, the number of new infections and hospitalizations is rising dramatically. And as we move closer to the presidential election in November, there are grave concerns for what will happen in the coming weeks. Political norms have been shattered. There's fear for the integrity of the electoral process and the peaceful transfer of power. Many worry our democratic norms and values have been irreparably damaged. These realities can leave us feeling despair and fear and anxiety. The 24-hour news cycle makes it difficult, if not impossible, to put distance between ourselves and the relentless reporting of bad news. There are times, especially in the past month, that this can feel all overwhelming. Today's gospel reminds us to keep things in perspective. While we live in very demanding times in which solutions to all that ails us seem elusive, Jesus tells us that everything is in God's hands. The powers and principalities of this world will not hold sway forever. The power of sin and of evil will not prevail. The pandemic will one day end. Only God is eternal, and only God is true, and God will deliver us from this time. Through baptism, we are marked as Christ's own forever. God lays claim to us and promises that we will share in a death like his, and we will also share in his resurrection. The injustices and worries of this age will not have the last word. God's all-powerful and just love will. Our first lesson today from the prophet Isaiah reminds us of this promise. It offers a great surprise for the people of Israel. The lesson tells how God will bring the people's exile in Babylon to an end. They will return to Jerusalem, and the temple will be rebuilt. God will forgive them for turning away from God and will restore them to their homeland. But there's a great surprise in this, and the surprise is the one who will accomplish this restoration. Isaiah tells us that God is using King Cyrus of Persia to carry out God's will. In the year 539 BCE, Cyrus conquers Babylon, and Babylon is the power that conquered Israel and brought the people into exile. Cyrus was a tolerant and understanding ruler who allowed conquered peoples to maintain their ways, allowing them to worship as they are accustomed. Cyrus allows a group to return to Jerusalem and to begin rebuilding the temple for the worship of God. The interesting thing about King Cyrus, though, is that he does not know God. He does not worship the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Though he doesn't know God, God still uses Cyrus for God's work. Isaiah tells us there is no other God besides God. God creates light and dark. God makes weal and woe. God is God of all things. With the power God possesses, God is able to use the one who does not even know God to save God's people. God can accomplish the seemingly impossible. Though we live in difficult and challenging times, we are called to remember that all things rest in God's hands. We must not lose heart, but instead put our hope in God. The promise is that God's love will not be defeated. The powers of this world will not endure forever. We will not always be tried as we are now in this time. God is with us now and always, and asks us to commit ourselves to walking in God's way, following Jesus in the way of love. Jesus bids us to give all we have and all we are to God. And doing so, we will be able to live by a hope that is stronger than despair, by love more powerful than hate, by life stronger than death. The power of God will deliver us, defeating the powers of sin, evil, and death, and bringing us to the fullness of God's loving reign for eternity. Amen.